Welcome back to Coast. Really great music there. So have you ever had one of those mystical coincidences that happened to you, but then you call that maybe weird? It was weird, or that was unexplainable. So is there any chance that we are just it? That we're just human beings are the only bodies, the only force on this planet? What about those unexplained mystical coincidences? What about spontaneous healings and energy? Well, joining me next is one of the foremost authorities on this subject, Doreen Virtue. And not only does Doreen have a PhD in psychology, she's also a lifelong clairvoyant. She works with spirits and guides and angels, and she's talked about this on Oprah and The View and CNN and many other programs, talking about the power of connecting with your angels. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Joining me is Doreen Virtue. She is not only has her PhD in psychology, but she's also a lifelong clairvoyant. She's worked with the angelic realm and spirit guides for most of her life, had got into this through a very convincing experience that she had with an armed carjacking, and angels essentially saved her life. And at that point on, she prayed and lived her life in communication with the angels. And she's joining us here. Welcome to the show, Doreen. Thanks for being with me.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, everyone. It's so good to share this time with you. And I'm excited about what we'll be talking about tonight.
Me too. Well, let's talk a little bit about, if people haven't heard your story for a while, about how you had that experience. It was around, 1995?
Yeah, July 15th, 1995. Mm. And so next year, 10 years ago. And what happened was that my whole life, as you mentioned earlier, I've been a clairvoyant. And like a lot of children, I had angel experiences, and I've heard the angels my whole life. I didn't always listen to them. I'm a very strong-willed Taurus, and so I made up my own mind of what I wanted to do, kind of picked and chose, divine guidance when it was convenient.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it all culminated on July 15th, 1995, when I got this warning, very clear voice outside my right ear, a male voice. And as you said, I have a doctoral degree as well as BA and MA in counseling psychology. So I had been taught clinically that if you hear a voice, it's a sign of insanity.
Uh-huh.
And here I hear this voice as clear as I can hear yours, telling me to put the top up on my convertible car or it will be stolen. And it was so weird. When it happens, it was like there was this energy shift where I didn't question the voice, but I didn't have the ability to put the top up on my car because the motor controlling the electric top is a fabric top was broken, and I couldn't manually lift the top. So I prayed for safety, and I got to this location where I was going to, and sure enough, just like this voice had warned me, I was jumped by two armed men who had a gun and a knife, demanding my car and my purse or my life. And it was absolutely,
terrifying. Yes.
And so this voice was still there, even though I had kind of ignored it. It didn't leave me, and it said, "Scream with all your might." It wasn't a gut reaction. It was an instruction.
Mm.
And so from the bottom of my gut, like a cave woman, I screamed so loud that I actually felt like David with Goliath, because I saw the first man who was closest to me. I saw his eyes get really big, like he didn't expect me to protest. And then as soon as I saw his eyes get big, I thought, he's afraid. I've got the upper hand here. So I just kept screaming. And then this woman who was in the parking lot saw what was happening. She laid on her horn, her car horn.
Mm.
And that attracted people's attention from the building. And they all ran out and scared these two men away. They had a getaway car. And it was, I called the police. They said I was the third carjacking of the day. This was in Anaheim, California.
Wow.
And that, they were using guns and knives on everyone else. And so I fell to my knees, both because I was grateful. I knew it was an angel that had saved my life, and also because of the shock and the adrenaline of it all. And it just changed my whole life, Lisa, because this voice had predicted what would happen an hour from now. You know, and that was the part that blew my mind. I mean, I'd had divine interventions my whole life, like a lot of people, but I'd never had a clear voice prediction like that. And then, of course, saving my life.
It's so quick that we dismiss that voice, though, that we assume that it is it's just a thought, but it really didn't happen. And we go back to our physical, busy lives.
True, true. Or we think, you know, a lot of people that I counsel, I know you do too, have big dreams about what to do. And then that's another kind of voice that they get. And they dismiss that, thinking they're not worthy or qualified or, you know, dream on. They write it off. And these voices we get, whether it's a feeling or whether it's a voice commanding us to take action that saves our lives, this is really something that's very, we could call it paranormal, but in all my years since that carjacking, it's actually 20 years, isn't it?
20 years, yes, 20 years. Yes.
Wow. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm here. 20 years.
Feels just like 10, happened. Though, right?
It did. It put me on a course of interviewing people so I could figure out what happened. And in interviewing all these people, I came to realize these kind of experiences happen all the time, but people were afraid to talk about them publicly because of fears that people would think they were crazy or that they were some sort of religious, you know, zealot. And these things are happening more and more within the last 5 years. The latest type of stories I'm getting in my interviews with people around the world, by the way, is that a mysterious man will come up to them who's dressed either really well for the scene or really shabbily, like he's homeless. And he's got real exotic eyes, and he acts very familiar, like he knows the person's name without having known. And he'll do something extraordinary, either lift a car out of snow, or he'll deliver a message that person needed to get. Or sometimes he's seen driving emergency vehicles, and then later when the person calls to thank him, they say there's no such person as that. This is what's really weird, is that he hands out business cards about half the time, and they say Michael on it, or Mike. And they have an address sometimes, but the address turns out to be fake. And so this is happening worldwide. I'm here talking to people constantly who are meeting. Maybe someone who's listening tonight will call in during the third hour and talk about this, but this seems like it's an Archangel Michael experience to me.
Business cards, and what, you mean physical cards?
Yeah, physical cards that say Michael, and sometimes the last name, but it's always Michael.
And they'll find these business cards in random places?
No, the man hands it to the person he's saving.
So this is a physical man?
It's a physical man who does physical things like lifting cars that are stuck in snow, or pushing cars that are stuck, or delivering a message that's, you know, like a human talking to you. But he knows your first name.
And you've heard this over and over again.
Yeah, more times than I can count. I mean, it's
Let me ask you about this time in history. Have you noticed that there have been so many more conversations about this than ever before? And are there just because the conversation is becoming more popular, or do you really believe that there is a shift that has occurred, not only in our consciousness, but in a physical veil?
There's a huge shift. I mean, I've been talking about angels publicly, now we've identified it, for 20 years, because the day after the carjacking, I was already a published author talking about eating disorders. You know, I've written a number of books on eating disorders. So the day after the carjacking, July 16th, 1995, I was set to speak at a natural health convention. And that's when I came out of the spiritual closet and started talking about angels publicly. And since that time, I've been teaching about them. And I've seen some huge shifts. The one that comes to mind most of all is that more men are now talking about angels openly. In the beginning, it was all women, or a woman would drag her husband to my event. But now at my events about angels, men are really into angels. They see it's not something fluffy or, you know, just girly. It's a source of strength.
Is there a difference from the descriptions of what would be classified as an angel from the historical text and that of maybe an alien or a different type of dimensional figure?
I believe that some of the angels that people report seeing are from other galaxies and other star systems. I definitely believe that we are connecting with what would be called ETs sometimes. I also have found this is really interesting, that there are some people who we call light workers or indigos, who are very conscious that when they go to sleep, they hold the intention that they're going to soul travel at night during their dream time to go help places that are in need, like the Middle East, for instance, or someplace that's had a natural disaster. I'm convinced that when people in those locations see angels, they're actually seeing soul traveling earth angels, you know, people who are sleeping on the other side of the planet who are helping. Because when the other people wake up in the morning, they report having experiences where they're doing things like hands-on healing and connecting and intervening with people who need it.
So can you set that type of intention? Can
yes.
You can.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Show up in another dimension.
You can definitely set that intention, and I've experienced it myself, and I had verifiable feedback a couple of times where I had memories when I woke up of a dream, and I'll say that in quotes, where I was talking with someone, and then I would connect with that person who would verify the conversation we had.
Really?
Yeah. So this is something that's, hopefully science will have machines to verify all this. And right now it sounds like theory, but I've had enough empirical research, which means that you've, you know, studied it over time to completely trust this is real. And yes, someone can make the intention before they fall asleep to go help areas of the world they're concerned with. The drawback is you'll wake up and you'll be a bit tired.
Yes. Yeah, so a little bit exhausted.
Don't do it the night before a test.
But it's interesting that you can time travel like that in different dimensions, mm-hmm. if everything really truly exists simultaneously as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go back in time and undo something that was maybe that we wish hadn't happened. And
now, in the past, you've talked to me about a specific realm of people coming in or beings coming in that were blue in color.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about, I think you called it the blues?
Well, it's interesting. The blue wavelength is associated with many of our deities. Of course, we all think of Krishna, but also Mother Mary. In traditional Catholicism and Christianity, she's always pictured wearing a blue gown, mm-hmm. and often a blue aura. And Archangel Michael is the same way, where he's got this blue aura around him. And my studies have pinpointed that this is from a different dimension that also exudes a blue color. I really believe it's the star system of Sirius that is a portal for us all. Sirius is, of course, a star system that is closer to Earth than even our own sun. And we're downwind or from the energy that beautiful Sirius sends us all the time. And those who do take the time to go outside and sit out there at night when Sirius is visible in the sky, you can actually connect to that energy, and it's very uplifting and very protective.
There has been a lot of energy coming recently from our moon, and
yes.
there's a lot of activity around the
yes.
moon these days. Have you noticed, what have you noticed specifically, Alaska?
Well, it's you know, whenever there's a lot of lunar
eclipses, yeah,
it's the mm-hmm. same, you know, and then we've got this Mercury retrograde, which it took me a few years to get on board with what Mercury retrograde, whether that was just something that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, but there's beyond coincidence how electronics go down and miscommunications happen during it. You can almost, you don't even need to know what day the Mercury retrograde is. You can see it from your experiences.
You don't think it's projection? You think it really?
No. When you start to have arguments with people and you start to get frustrated and things just don't go right, look it up on the internet and you'll see that it's one of the Mercury retrogrades. It's three or four times every year. So we're in one right now.
It seems like we just had one.
it's kind of like, you know, the monthly moon cycle.
Yeah.
But it's like the planetary moon cycle. But what it is, it's an opportunity to reassess, to rest, to think outside the box about your next plans, not to take action on anything new, but just reorganize things. So it's a blessing, but it just takes some patience. So we have the Mercury retrograde right now in Scorpio, which is so intense. Scorpio's got to be one of the most intense signs, and they're proud of it. And then also the full moon in Aries, which is another intense sign. So right now it's very intense. And what I'm noticing is that people are either having a great time right now or a really difficult time right now.
Yes, two opposite sides of the spectrum. I've noticed the same thing. I was sitting with a group of people and they said, hasn't this week been ridiculously intense? So let me ask you about that, about the communication and Mercury retrograde and so forth. How does it actually affect the communication? And what do you do if you're in, you know, fields of communication and you just can't stop? I mean, how do you regulate it?
Well, if you are lucky enough to have people around you that are open to the concept of Mercury retrograde, then you can use a sense of humor. You can say, oh, there's Mercury retrograde, and that helps to diffuse it. But if that's something that's too odd for the people that you're talking to, it's just a matter of really being conscious of every word you use and then tuning in to who you're talking to see whether they heard it in the way that you intended to. Even asking them, what did you hear me say, if you can, and just really trusting your gut if you need to repeat it at a more kindergarten level.
More of an intentional conversation.
Yeah.
Have you heard from people recently that you speak to on your radio show and in readings and so forth? Have you heard any specific themes coming from these people lately?
Well, the theme that we've been hearing for, it's going on about a year and a half, and it's related to right now, too, is this desire to move somewhere new.
Yes, I remember you telling me that, yes?
Yes. There's, and I just got back from touring Europe, and same thing over there. You know, when we ask for a show of hands, how many are moving or want to move, it's something like 80 to 85% of the audience right now. I mean, it's growing.
Interesting. Yes, I've moved since I spoke with you last.
Oh,
yes.
Well, it's a struggle. I think a lot of people are very confused. Where do I go? They're looking for their place where they feel comfortable, and there probably isn't a place where you feel entirely comfortable, but you get as close as you can to that. Nothing's perfect. I mean, I've traveled the world kind of in the back of my mind. I've thought maybe I can find the perfect place, and I've gone around the world since 1996 more times than I can count. I've been virtually every continent, and
wow.
Every place has got its beauty and its amazing culture, and I recommend travel to open up, you know, your mind and really be broadened about what this world is like. But every place has its drawbacks, too. There's nothing perfect.
Well, you've landed in beautiful Hawaii, so that seems to be a good spot for you.
Well, it is. I mean, it's a good spot, but it has its issues, too.
Right.
You know? So
right.
There's just no perfect place. So we do the best we can. Luckily, every one of us can call on the angels to help guide our moves. And they can help, like, they can help with things. In addition to showing you where to be, they can help you to afford where you're moving to. As a lot of people still are fighting that lack mentality. Unfortunately, you know, they have this belief they can't afford it. And if you continuously affirm that, that's going to be your experience.
Is there a specific angel that historically you has, you know, been responsible for or associated with move, finances, health? I mean, could you kind of break it down to us a little bit? So let's talk about finances.
Yes. Well, I just came out with a book called The Angels of Abundance because so many people I meet around the world are feeling stuck and trapped at jobs that are not utilizing their spiritual gifts. Mm. And they want to be healers. They want to be teachers. And they just don't know how to do that and pay the bills because these tend to be right brain dominant earth angel people. So the book Angels of Abundance is all about these specific angels that that's the only term I can come up for them is angels of abundance because their specialties is to help give you the confidence to move forward on your dream and then the money will follow later.
Do they have a specific name?
It's what I call them as a group, the angels of abundance.
I know.
It's
interesting.
They do help everyone who calls on them.
So good to know that there's a lot of them. All right, we're going to take a quick break, Doreen, and when we come back, we're going to continue on with more questions about this specific time and energy and some of the things that you've got coming up about the assertiveness program that you're talking about. So we'll be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back. My guest tonight is Doreen Virtue. We're talking about the angelic realm, if you want to call it anything from another dimension that tends to communicate with us. We call it coincidence. We call it weird. We call it something that's unexplainable. But could it really be that we can intentionally communicate with this angelic realm? We're going to find out more when Doreen comes back, and she's going to talk to us about some of the ways that we can communicate with specific angels that are associated with specific intentions. We'll be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. This is Lisa Garr, and my guest is angel communicator Doreen Virtue. Now, Doreen, we talked a little bit before the break about specific angels that we could intend towards to help manifest certain things in our lives. Historically, which angels are associated, like by name, with manifesting something? And we were talking about finances.
Right. Archangel Michael is a wonderful angel to call on for anything having to do with manifesting and career-related questions. This angel can help anyone who calls upon him. You don't have to belong to a certain religion or have a special prayer. He's unlimited, like a holograph, and anyone who is not sure about this, I would say to be like a scientist and test this hypothesis I'm presenting out for yourself before either accepting or rejecting it. So let's just say that you're unhappy with your job or your finances. Think or say out loud, it doesn't matter, he hears your thoughts. Say, Archangel Michael, please guide me on my divine career path. Because each one of us has what is called a divine career, meaning your soul's purpose or your life purpose. And that's the type of career that you're supposed to be on. And once you're in that career, you find your purpose, all the doors open up. The abundance flows effortlessly. I mean, you have to work, of course, but it's not work anymore. It's play. It's fun. And it becomes a joy to go to work instead of a drag. And so Archangel Michael, one of the things he can do is help you while you're sleeping. This is really good for anyone who feels blocked in their psychic abilities. When you're sleeping, your ego's asleep, and you're open to receiving divine messages. So when you go to sleep tonight, for instance, you can just think the thought, Archangel Michael, please come into my dreams and guide my career. Tell me what the next step specifically is for me to make. And he will. Now, when you wake up, usually you don't remember
right. The
dream intervention. But what you do have is you have the instructions embedded in you, and you still have free will. He's not going to try and control anyone.
But there are signs, though, that can come back to us. Talk to us about some of the signs to look for that are certain factors.
Yes. So let's just say that you really want to be a professional healer. And right now you're working in some corporation and you don't believe in it anymore. And you're only there for the paycheck and the benefits. And your heart's just not in your job. So you say to Archangel Michael, please guide me how I can do what makes my heart sing. I want to be a healer. So the next day you wake up and you start hearing all these songs on the radio about healing.
Mm.
And someone's walking past you and they say, go forth and heal, and in a separate conversation. And you look down on the street and there's a pamphlet about a class about healing. And the signs will just be beyond coincidence. You can't ignore them.
You have to look for them, though.
From the sky, you know?
Right. So. But you have to know to look for something like that, whereas we might just pass those by and forget about it, since you tend to forget what happens in the middle of the night.
Well, you know, I've done that before the carjacking happened to me. You know, I had experiences where I had signs coming to me right and left, and I ignored them. And if you ignore them, they just get stronger and stronger and stronger till they culminate. I always joke, and I mean this respectfully, that God had to have a gun and a knife stuck to my head before I'd listen.
Mm.
And the carjacking, it just... You hit bottom.
It happens to many of us, yes.
Yeah.
What are some of the current things that you're specifically working on that you're looking for signs of?
Oh, my heart sings with joy at this question. Thank you, my friend.
Mm.
So I have been touring, giving workshops for 25 years now, and I love giving workshops. I love connecting with people. When I have book signings, it's my joy. But the last few years, getting to those places has been a drag for me, traveling. I'm really getting more and more sensitive to energy, like I think a lot of us are. And so going into airports, going through the security, you know, the
right.
TSA thing,
mm-hmm.
it's just not my deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started to say, you know, I'm teaching everyone else to walk their talk, to, if something doesn't work for you, you've got to look at it and change. And so I kept getting angel messages, get off the road. But my publisher and everything in my past told me that authors have to be on the road to do their work. And so I had this real conflicting head and heart thing going on for about a year. And I finally said, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm making a date and I'm stopping touring. And that's next month, November. I'm going to Australia for my last workshop. I'm doing one in Pasadena and one in Melbourne, Australia, in November. Wow. And then I'm off the road, except for when I go to visit my family and friends in California once a year. I'll be there. And then The rest will be here in Hawaii. And since I made that decision, Lisa, I've been so peaceful and happy. The cool thing, and this is a message for everyone who's contemplating these changes, is that beautiful opportunities have been coming my way that I couldn't have foreseen, haven't been asking for, because I'm happier.
And you could hold the workshops there, and then people would come to you, and that's not so difficult.
No, I actually just held a workshop in September, and 500 people came here from all around the world. And we held it at a beautiful oceanfront place. And then next June, I'll be giving a workshop with our friend Wayne Dyer.
Oh, nice.
Here in Maui, on how to get published, how to be a spiritual writer.
Great. So, he's a good person to ask. Now, let me ask you about the energies, as you mentioned, flying and traveling. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that they were getting so much more intense, or was it just you that were you were wearing?
Yep. Interesting question. Well, you know, I've been flying for a long time, and so of course, right after the infamous September 11th, it got so intense with people, you know, all the security and such, mm-hmm. and it was almost unbearable. Then it lightened up, and then, you know, weird things would happen, and this whole thing with you can't take liquids on.
Right.
You know, it's really, really inconvenient for us. And for a while, you couldn't take, nail files on. I mean, it just got to the point. And I actually would pull TSA officers aside, because a couple of times I brought crystal wands with me in my carry-on bag, and they'd say, "What's that?" And I'd open it up. I'd go, "It's a crystal wand. Do you want me to grant you a wish or clear your aura?" And they'd say, "Oh, yes, please." These poor TSA officers. And I would talk to them, and I'd say, "What's going on? Why are you?" And they tell me that they're watching these paranoia movies they're forced to watch, showing these worst-case scenarios that they're being convinced are happening. So that's, they're being drummed into fears in their heart. Then they have to stand next to x-rays all day, and they're being told that that's safe, these archaic x-rays. These poor folks, you see pregnant TSA officers working x-rays, not good. And I just, I want to help, but I just don't want to be in that energy anymore. And so this new deck of cards just came out with our friend Brian Weiss. You know Brian really well, right?
Mm-hmm.
The king of past life regressions.
Right.
He and I came up with this deck of cards where you ask a question of what's going on with me, and you pull one card, and it tells you what past life it's connected to. So I pulled out this deck of cards and say, why am I just being driven crazy by airlines? You know, what's going on here? And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I pulled the card, and it told me that it was my past life as a star person.
As a what person?
A star person.
Star person, okay.
Being from Sirius. And the card said that in the past life, I was used to instant travel. And that just rung true to my whole body and soul, that I'm not afraid of airplanes. The TSA I can deal with because I connect with people and mm-hmm. I'm doing healing work. But it's just taking 15 hours to go someplace that shouldn't have to. We've got the technology to instantly travel. I don't want to do the 10, 15 hours when it's not necessary. So I've told everyone that when technology comes back, I'll be back on the road.
When technology comes back, how about traveling through technology instead? Why don't you, a lot more internet shows and a lot more things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm doing video workshops. Mm-hmm. You know, Hay House has got these wonderful free videos that they're giving away of me teaching how to do angel card readings. And in fact, I've got a link post on my Facebook page right now if anyone wants to see the free videos. It's under a thread called Yay, It's Angel Party Time. It's facebook.com/DoreenVirtue444. If they go to the very bottom, you'll see the link for free videos. Because videos are just a cool, eco-friendly way to
Yes, it lessens your footprint as well. Now, 444, I wanted to ask you, we were talking a little bit earlier about signs to look for. You said music and numbers. Here's a whole book that you did on the numbers and
Angel Numbers 101, and it's an app too. So when the angels are talking to you, this is very Pythagorean about that numbers are the universal language, they will show repetitive number sequences. So a lot of times people will see 111, which means there's a gateway of energy opening up to manifest your positive thoughts instantly, or your negative thoughts, so don't think that way because they'll manifest. 444 is the one that I see all the time, and it means literally the Trinity, the Holy Trinity plus the angels are four. So it's 444 means that the angels are with you.
Interesting. I've been seeing that a lot on the clock here today. Yes.
Oh, I love
you mentioned that. Yes. It's which just passed actually. The so those are your numbers that are specific to you. Are they to everyone?
Everyone, yeah.
Okay.
Everyone. These are universal. It's related to numerology. These are numbers that are messages that anyone can get from seeing repetitive numbers on license plates or receipts or telephone numbers. And so I do angel number readings. If someone wants to call up when we open the phone lines and say what numbers they keep seeing, I'm happy to read that.
Interesting. So they have there's each sequence has a specific meaning according to what you talk about.
Yes.
Now, if you are looking for communication, say with a passed over loved one, and I noticed that you did just write a book with James Van Praagh about this.
James Van Praagh, don't we just love him?
Yeah.
Oh, what a brother.
Yes, absolutely. And the work that he does is so healing as well. It's about grief and communicating with past loved ones. But
he's all heart.
Yes, absolutely. But that is one thing that when somebody loses a parent or a friend or, God forbid, a young child, what they want to do is communicate with that person like they had communicated when they were here on the earth plane.
Yes.
How do you suggest, and do you see the veil thinner now? Do you see that there's any way that there you can increase that type of communication or maybe even a piercing of that veil to come into the present?
I do. I absolutely do, Lisa. I agree with you. The veil is so much thinner in the last few years. The last Venus return is when I noticed the shift really taking place. And it's been about two and a half, three years now. And what my evidence is that it's increasing is the number of mothers I'm meeting who tragically have lost children who come to me and tell me that they're doing automatic writing with their child, which means that you ask a question, you write it down, and then you hear the answer, you write it down. And so many of these mothers are handing me books of these communications, where I used to be the one teaching mothers how to do that, they're learning on their own, or the information's so readily out there that it's common knowledge now that you can communicate. It's not the same. I mean, I've lost loved ones. You miss that tactile thing, hugging them. I mean, you can have them hug you in the dreams. They'll come to you and you can feel it, but it's maybe for 15 seconds, minute, and. They, you know, I write this column for this magazine in North America called Women's World Magazine, and it's a normal magazine. I mean, by that
normal?
It's got cake recipes and, you know, how to have a better relationship with your family. And in there is my column called My Guardian Angel, and there's a lot of articles we write every week about people getting communication from their loved ones in heaven. And a common one we're getting now is that the telephone will ring. And the caller ID will either say 000, getting angel bump chills now, and they hear this static, or they hear almost like one of those EMT things where they hear the voice of a loved one, or there'll be some message that comes through. I mean, it's bizarre. It's telephones are ringing now from heaven.
Are you noticing themes coming through the people that you talk with? Such as what you just experienced there. You were talking about moves earlier.
Yeah.
Has it fallen a little bit away from what's my life purpose to more specific things now?
Yes, definitely. The questions I'm getting, and I really credit this to the Indigo generation, which have been born in any year, but the majority of them were born in the 70s and the 80s. And they're now adults, and they're so concerned, how can I help the world? They're not concerned with, can I make money? You know, they don't seem to be consumed with the normal job.
Needing as much, yes.
Mm-hmm. These are the innovators you hear on the TED Talks.
Yes.
These are the ones who are just doing it, and they don't care whether someone's going to criticize them. They don't care whether people can get their idea. They run as fast as they can with the idea and just hope the rest of the world catches up to them. And so I'm so happy in my workshops. I'm seeing all these 20 and 30 year olds now who get it. And they are the leaders of the world who are now have arrived in adulthood. They're running for political office, many of them.
Wow.
And they are sincere. They're not getting bought off by corporations. They're doing grassroots campaigns and fundraisers, and they want to get GMOs off our planet, and they want to stop wars and bring about peace. And
it's the power of millennials and social marketing and networking. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. More power to
power. I was just going to say the same thing. Yes, power to the people.
All of us need to be backing them up and donating money as much as we can to, you know, those grassroots campaigns.
Any of us can
find their products.
Start them as well. All right. So in terms of themes and getting away from so much purpose, but more to the grassroots, how do you feel about what's going on with our environment? And do you see that there is more or less attention on Mother Earth these days?
Well, you know, it depends what you focus on. There was a while, there was about 2 or 3 years where I did what I call going down the rabbit hole. Where I would be on the weird part of YouTube, and you can get there. You can get sucked into a lot of the negativity, and it feeds on it. And you can get so fear-based about our world that you then become part of the negativity. And that happened to me. I did that. And you and I talked during that period. I mean,
yes, I remember this.
And I'm still very aware. I didn't go back into denial. I mean, I know what's going on. I'm glad I went through that period to kind of have my eyes open about some of the things going on, but I'm no longer in a place of fear about it. And what I'm seeing, again, this is from my world travels, and part of it is because I'm a vegan, an organic vegan since 1996, when, you know, I made this big shift in my diet. And it was tough being a vegan traveling around the world for up until about 5 years ago. I think 5 years ago there was this big shift. Now all of a sudden, it's beyond Whole Foods. There's organic restaurants. There's vegan restaurants everywhere in this world. I mean, it's so easy to be organic and vegan, which to me is one contribution you can make to our planet. If veganism isn't your boat, there's now recycling centers everywhere. There's all kinds of products that are eco-friendly. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Etsy.com. I don't know if you go on there, E-T-S-Y.
Etsy, no. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, a few years ago, the angels started talking to me, and I started researching the thing about sweatshops. And, you know, you saw all the news about the unfortunate sweatshop in India that burned down and people died, and all the children who are in slavery worldwide, mm-hmm. You know, sewing clothes so we can have cheap clothing for sale here in America and other countries. And I got very concerned about that. And as I got more and more energy sensitive, I found that I couldn't wear that clothing either without having a negative feeling. And then I started doing research on cotton as the number one GMO product in the planet. And every time we buy any kind of cotton product that's not organic, we're giving money to those corporations. And so I started to have this intention of changing my wardrobe over so it's not sweatshop, so it's organic. And it was a big undertaking, but I did it. And now I'm finding there's a lot of people who are into this, to the sustainable movement, to eco fashion,
mm-hmm.
and it's, a lot of it's on Etsy. That's E-T-S-Y.
And it's a lot less toxic as well to wear.
Yes, you don't get those chemicals in you. A lot of mothers get into it during their pregnancies because they don't want their babies to have chemicals, and then they wear cotton, organic cotton clothing while they're breastfeeding, and then it continues. But if you look at Etsy, it's a lot of stay-at-home moms with babies who sew and sell clothing that's less expensive than department stores. There's no sweatshops involved. You get something that's one of a kind, tailor-made to you for maybe $40 or $50 for a gorgeous dress or less. Some of them are $20 or $30. It's all organic cotton, eco-friendly dyes, and you're supporting a mother, you know, who needs that help.
I noticed that you went through this as well with changing your hair and everything. You've made a significant change in the last year or so, and it's very specific and very intentional, and I can understand where it's coming from now. We're going to take a quick break, Doreen, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. Doreen Virtue is my guest. We're going to be taking your call shortly as well. This is Lisa Garr, and you're listening to Coast to Coast AM.